I love how you just popped her up. You gave me no warning. You just produced a pigeon. Literally, I'm fangirling so hard. Like, I can't believe you have a pigeon. Like, I never meet anybody who has a pigeon.
We're like kindred spirits. I mean, vintage isn't that small of a niche, but having pet pigeons is nowadays.
So, combine them both, we're a rare breed, girl. I got to tell you something so funny before we start. I have to say something so funny. So, a guy at work was like, hey, just be careful. I was like, why? What? And he was like, there's this girl on Instagram and she's like doing the same as you. I was like, oh really? And he was like, yeah, she's vintage and she's got a pigeon and everything. I was like, oh no, is her name Becca? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, we already follow each other. She's a guest on my podcast. Calm right down. It's fine. Just because we're similar, it doesn't mean we're in competition. I knew it was you instantly. I was like, the minute he said, there's this girl, she's really similar to you. I was like, could it be? And then he was like, and she has a pigeon. I was like, yeah, that's my girl, Becca.
People think we're like arch nemesis.
I know. We fight them. Yeah, we fight them to the death when we've got nothing else to do with our day. Please be mindful that this episode does contain mild cursing and is probably also one that you want to go and check out on YouTube as it features a very special guest. Hello, listeners. Now, you're probably already aware that I love learning about the 1940s. Actually, it's my favourite bit of history, courtesy of my grandpa, and it's why I make content about it. You're probably also aware, or maybe not, that in May of 2022, I had an unbelievable encounter with a pigeon. And how does the 1940s relate to pigeons, I hear you ask? And for that, I say, go give it a Google. But today, I'm speaking to basically my American doppelganger, Becca of Pinups and Pigeons, to talk about how two vintage pigeon girls fit into the modern world. Becca, welcome. I'm so excited.
Thank you. I feel like America's sweetheart right now, but the pigeon version.
We're just like pigeon sweethearts of different nations. This is great. Yeah, I'm representing Britain. You're representing the US. It's absolutely fabulous. When I saw you, I was like, okay, first of all, loving the vibe. Because it's the era that I love. It's 40s, it's 50s, and I adore that era, as many people know. Like I said, that's why I post about it. But when I saw Miss Pidge, when I saw her, everything changed. I mean, I was like, there is no way another one of me exists out there. This is the greatest. It's like we're sisters. This is great. It's so great. So we're going to do the most important thing. I want to meet you and I want to meet Miss Pidge. And I want to know, how did you both meet? So please tell me the story. I am so all ears.
Here she is. It is Miss Pidge.
Oh my God.
This is my baby. I did lay an egg and give birth to her. Oh, she's the light of my life. And she is just my precious angel. I always say that she is a baby angel right now, but one day she's going to sprout wings and become a real angel.
Oh, I love
that. And
that's
really cheesy.
I think it's great.
I love her so much. So what inspired me to get a pet pigeon, hilariously, is that I saw a TikTok video of, I think, Toast the Pigeon. Shout out Toast the Pigeon.
Shout out to Toast the Pigeon. I love Toast the Pigeon.
And I just saw how wonderful pigeons were. And I had never thought about that. You know, I've always really loved birds. Mm. Like any like wild bird that needed like rescued, like I was like on it as a kid. And I just was like, wow, like I would love to have this little companion that like loves me and follows me around and I can take care of them. And I just think it would be wonderful. And so I started looking like, where does one get a pet pigeon? Like what? I had never heard of it. And so I started doing like research, and I researched for like 2 or 3 months about pigeons because I don't want to get a pet that like I can't take care of, that I can't give like the best life possible, right, Gigi? I found Great Lakes Pigeon Rescue. They are a wonderful rescue in Chicago, which is not too terribly far from me. And I started looking at the pigeons they had available, and I saw Miss Pidge, and I saw that she couldn't fly anymore. She had like an accident with her wings. So one of her wings just never grew the flight feathers back.
Look at that.
Yes. And so I'll set her down because she's getting a little, I call it wild when she starts like, mother, please.
I call them pigeon zoomies when they get a bit, you know.
That is perfect. Yes. And I saw Miss Pidge and I showed her to my mom. And my mom, we always say this about animals, that like you can just tell they have sweet eyes. And like that you can tell they have a sweet little soul. And Miss Pidge, her description was that she was very gentle, that she didn't get along well with the other pigeons. They tried to have her take like a mate and live in an aviary, and which is rare for a pigeon. She did not do well. My girl was like, get me out of here, please.
I get that. I tried to partner Penny up once. I was like, come on, girl, you can't just be happy with me. I can't be giving you everything that you need. I'm going to try and do the proper mama thing and let you go and find a mate. Hated it. She fought 6 suitors off. Like, she fought them out of the coop. And I was like, okay, loud and clear, loud and clear.
Is that how you got your aviary full of pigeons?
No.
Or just any rejection?
Well, originally I thought I was going to have an aviary full of pigeons whilst Penny was still alive, because I thought if she takes to one of them, this will be great, and she'll be able to have babies, and I'll raise little pennies, and it'll be wonderful. Not too many. I don't want to, like, you know, boost the pigeon population too much, because I know there's a lot of Miss Pidges out there that need love. Yeah. Without me going exactly, without me going ahead and breeding a load more. But I did want one baby penny. That was my little dream. But she hated all the suitors. And I think she, like Miss Pidge with you, she just bonded with me and my partner and my mum. And we were all she needed. So no other pigeons lived with her in the aviary. They visited fleetingly because she didn't like them. And then after she died, that's when I opened it up to rescues. And that's why I've got 5 pigeons right now, would you believe? And I just let them out a minute ago. They had it's great. One of them is an ex-racing pigeon, because I'm not a massive fan of pigeon racing. And he's a fully fledged adult. And he's the first fully fledged adult that I've had that I've adopted. All the others, Penny, she was a fledgling, and the rest were babies. We were literally hand-rearing them, like the baby babies. So I was like, his name's Bob, by the way, as voted by the internet. The goddamn internet. Bob. Because all the themes are money. So it's different currencies. So it started with Penny. Yeah. And then we had Tuppence, which in the UK can sometimes mean something else. I'll let you Google that. In your own time. But in the UK, tuppence, which is an old coin, but it can mean something else. Something else in the UK. I'm sure some people will know what I mean there. So we've got tuppence. Then we had florin. Thought florin, that's a cute currency name. We've got dime, of course, dime. And then and we had shilling, but shilling went and mated with a feral pigeon, which was fine. So she's gone off to live her best life. The scandal, I know. I'm sure I saw them having pigeon cuddles on a chimney once, and I was like, yeah, I've lost her. She's fallen for
a
street pigeon. Yeah. So off she went. So, and now we've got a baby that's not really a baby anymore, because Florin and Tuppence mated and had a baby. So that's really cute. So this ex-racer needed a name, and it needed to be related to currency. So I stupidly went, come on then, internet, you pick the name. And obviously, like, there was like Frank, Crown, you know, loads of like, you know, cool names. And then someone said Bob, as in like a 10 Bob note, which is like a bit of slang.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so in Britain, it's like slang for $10. It's like slang for $10. So you'd say, have you got a 10 Bob note? So Bob. So once someone said Bob, that was it. Everybody was like, oh my God, yes, Bob. He looks like a Bob. He totally should be a Bob. He's an old man. That's an old man's name. This is great.
That is absolutely so he's Bob hilarious. Now. Of course, of I know. All these fancy, regal, royal sounding names, they were like, I have an idea. Bob.
Bob. Yeah. And I've just taught him to home as a fully fledged adult, which is very hard to do because they're so ingrained with where they were born that given the chance, they'll just fly home, as you know. But obviously, as you know, when they like a place enough, when they like the people enough, when they like their flock enough, they'll change their mind and they'll stay. And he has stayed. So that's made me feel, yeah, that's made me feel quite proud.
You. I have trained Miss Pidge to do some tricks. Now, she is very spoiled, and sometimes she'll decide when she wants to do the trick. But she can do kisses, she can spin, she'll step up on my arm if she feels I am worthy of being stepped on. But people underestimate how smart and how trainable these pigeons are. I mean, if they weren't trainable, like, if they weren't smart, we wouldn't have used them in war, in homing, and all these things. And people are like, pigeons kind of dumb, pigeons eat trash. And I'm like, pigeons are extremely smart. And they're only out there eating trash because nobody's feeding them.
Exactly. It's so heartbreaking. I've read so many studies on this because, as you know, I started a pigeon charity. So I took this thing seriously. Oh, by the way, do you like my pigeon earrings?
Those are so cute. I think, I know it sounds like I'm copying your whole life, but I think I have that exact same pair of earrings.
This is the best day ever.
Somewhere in my jewelry box. But yeah, I saw those too, and I was like, I gotta have them.
I know, they're not very 50s, 40s vintage, but they are cute. And I thought for this podcast,
sometimes you gotta work the modern into the true vintage, because sometimes it's really cute. What can you do?
And also, sometimes you just got to be practical. And I've been in the aviary all day today, so it was dungarees because, you know, I got to be practical.
I wear, when I'm being practical, I have like probably like 6 pairs of like linen overalls.
Same. I have so many pairs. I don't need as many. I'm not practical that often, but I still have so many pairs. Pigeons are so smart. Like, because of my pigeon charity, which is Penny's Pigeon Aid, if anyone's interested, I had to do a lot of research, and I found out that pigeons share a similar cognitive ability to humans, which was only otherwise displayed in primates, which was really quite incredible. They can one study had pigeons like recognizing cardiac disease in humans. Obviously, we know from the experiments that were done on them during World War II with the pigeon operation, how smart they are, that they can read the alphabet, that they can do math. It's really quite incredible. But I taught Penny how to spin and kiss and step up. I loved it. And I also taught her how to read flashcards. So before she died, she could recognize car. That was my boyfriend. He wanted her to do car first because he's a petrol head. And I wanted her to recognize, what was it? Car and was it rabbit? Because they sound so different. Is that her cooing?
This is what I was also worried about.
We will stop this podcast as many times. No. We will stop this podcast as many times as we need to for Miss Pidge. She decides how long this goes on for.
Hi, baby.
Aside from the pigeons, let's talk a little bit about the vintage as well. So the vintage was already in your life before Miss Pidge made her fabulous appearance?
Yes. Me and vintage have been having a love affair for as long as I can remember.
Ah, yes.
Well, actually, you know, I wanted to do a show and tell. What really started me loving vintage was I was ransacking through my grandma's dresser drawers because I am just, you know, a nosy little bastard. Can I curse on this one?
You can curse away.
Okay.
Everything could be solved with a disclaimer. Yes, so curse away. I'll add a disclaimer at the beginning.
Yes, ma'am. And so anyways, I found this. Show and tell time.
Yay.
It's a sweater with a map of the shipwrecks of the Great Lakes. It's so morbid because I'm sure a lot of people died. But yeah, it has a map of the Great Lakes, and then it has names of the ships that have wrecked.
Wow.
Yes, and sort of where they wrecked.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yes, and I found this, and I brought it downstairs, and I was like, Grammy, please, can I have this? Like, what is this? And she was like, oh, that was your mom and dad's in the 80s. They bought that when we were on a trip up to the UP. You can have it. And so I was like, heck yeah.
That is so cool.
To school, and like I got a ton of compliments because everyone's like, where'd you get that? I want one. This was in like the 2014 Tumblr era where like map stuff was super cool. And I was like, There's vintage. Don't know where you can get one. And so then that kind of, I got into like the high-waisted Levi's that were trendy at the time. And what really got me into the older eras is I found this adorable 60s like flower power romper in my size, which was like so hard to find. And I wore the crap out of that thing. I busted the crotch open like three times. My mom would sew it back for me. Because I'm so tall, every time I sat down, it just go.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'9". So that's not extremely tall, really. But for like some vintage clothing,
that's really tall. That is tall. My friends say I'm 5'4". I like to say I'm 5'5". All right.
Then you're 5'5", girl. You decide.
Thank you. Thanks, yeah. Girl. I can't believe you're 5'9". You're like the average height of most guys, to be fair. Let's be honest. Men, let's be honest.
Yes, let's be honest. They say they're 6 foot, but I'm 5'9", and I'm looking down on them, and I'm okay,
okay, honey.
That's what you want to say. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, vintage clothes must have been really hard for you to find. No wonder you wore that romper, like, you know.
Yes, and so I just fell in love, and like getting into the 60s leads you back to the 50s, and getting into the 50s leads you back to the 40s. Yeah. And like, oh my gosh, I just started collecting things and hunting for things and going to antique shops and having so much fun. And then I sort of got into the social media side of it later on when I was like probably like around 20. I'm 24 now.
Yeah.
And it's just been a lot of fun. So that's how I got into it. And I really liked, you know, a lot of the modern clothes when I was growing up, like the skinny jeans and stuff. Mm. I just never really felt like they fit me right. And like they really like accentuated like my body the way I wanted. And that kind of gave me like some like, like I wish I could wear these things that all the girls are wearing. Like they just don't like, I feel like they don't look right on me. And when I started like finding like the high-waisted like 50s stuff that accentuates like your waist but leaves room for your hips, and like it wasn't like constricting on me, and you know, it really made the best of like my shape. I was like, there are clothes out here that I can feel like confident and like have fun in, like fit and flare dresses and little suits. Like it was very like eye-opening to be like, there are different options out here. Not everybody's wearing it, and you might stick out like a sore thumb. But if that's what you feel best in, go for it. Like,
absolutely. And is it after cycling through various different eras and like trying out a few things, did your fashion sense center on 50s, or are you still a bit of an amalgamation? Or is 50s the favorite at the moment?
It's mainly 40s and 50s for sure. Nice. I kind of went through like a 70s era. But like you run into, you know, like the low rise bell bottoms and stuff. Like I just wasn't, they're a little too uncomfortable.
I look back on my journey with vintage and I try and like come up with loads of complicated reasons about why I'm into it. But you know what? Sometimes I think, is it just because there's a lot of stuff that's high waisted? Is that all it is? Because I don't like the low riding. I want to feel comfortable and I want everything to be like tucked in, but I want to have room still, you know. And a lot of 50s and 40s stuff. I mean, I love the fit and flare, and I love the high weighted skirts. I love an A-line skirt. I really do. I love where it sits on your waist. So I totally echo that. And you said that by the way, you look great today. What are the earrings? Can I see the earrings a bit closer, please?
So these are actually, they're not vintage, but I collect fruit earrings. They are made of glass. They are hand-blown glass.
Are they strawberries?
Yes, they are. Shout out to Lucky Lapkey. She is who makes these earrings. She is a wonderful artist. She has an Etsy shop, and it's called Lucky Lapkey by Hannah. She sent me like some blueberry earrings to wear.
Oh my God, that's so
cute. And I was like, I feel so special. She makes little lemons.
Oh,
I've just made it my life goal to collect everything she makes ever. So that's the earrings.
That is a great life goal, because I love that kind of... Do you know the word kitsch?
Yes.
That's what it is, isn't it? Vintage kitsch. Vintage slash kitsch.
Yes.
That is my vibe every day of the week, where it's still looks very of a time. It still looks very 50s, but it's got a kind of kitsch flair, a bit of a retro flair.
Yes.
Like, you know, we're a 50s housewife, but we're also strawberry shortcake, you know?
Yes.
And obviously that's where your social media popularity has come. Well, of course, Miss Pidge, we'll get back to her. But with you, a lot of it, you know, with the vintage fashion and the vibes that you give, a lot of people are just like lapping it up. Have you found a vintage community online? Have you found it or in person since you started dressing this way?
So online, most definitely. I have made some wonderful friends that just have loved me, and they also love vintage, and they're wonderful mm-hmm. people. Especially on Facebook, I started like selling vintage and getting into vintage a lot in like Facebook groups. That has really been like a wonderful place. And also Instagram, I just recently started kind of taking my Instagram more seriously. Like I would sort of take stuff from TikTok and post it there and just see how it did for like a year or so. But recently I started taking it seriously and like, they have just welcomed me with open arms. They're so kind to me. You know, I want people to follow me that accept the vintage and the pigeon. I think that there's this pressure to like niche down, to like just do one thing. I don't want to do just one thing. I have like a lot of passions for different things. So like the growth on Instagram, I think is partly because I really started to focus on just the vintage on Instagram and have been posting like pigeon stuff onto TikTok. I would love to like weave Miss Pidge into my content more on Instagram. Mm. But like, you know, I want to grow, and I'm hoping that one day this could be something that like kind of provides like a living for me. And there's that pressure to like, you know, if you don't pick a niche and stick to it and commit to that, like, you probably won't get there for a long time. Are other people, like, what are you guys doing? How are you guys growing?
Coping.
Are you making it?
Oh, growing. Yeah, you said growing, not coping. Not coping, growing. Because, like you say, how do people make money, as in steady income money, on platforms of any kind? Livable wage? What's that? What is that?
Like, who's out there doing that?
Yeah.
And can they share with me?
Please adopt us, please. We're just two vintage pigeon girls. We just need help, please.
Yes, I identify as just a little gal who needs adopted into somebody's family. And now I am doing some sort of weird British accent. Don't be offended.
Was that like a little Victorian child?
Yes.
Please, Guffnap, please help us. We are but small and poor. Oh, brilliant. So speaking of the niche, right, or the two niches, pigeon representation, pigeon advocacy, pigeons being bloody brilliant, and vintage in all of its glory. I understand this, the answer to this question, but I'd like to hear it from you and for the listeners. How does loving vintage and appreciating vintage and loving pigeons fit together? Does it? Doesn't it? Are there similarities? Are there crossovers? Do tell.
Oh, it definitely does fit together. And it fits together perfectly because pigeon keeping in itself is like very vintage. There weren't a lot like as pets living in somebody's room running around under the bed like Miss Pidges. But, you know, they kept them for a lot of reasons. You know, sadly, they kept them for, like, meat, and they kept them, so like, just as, like, a hobby, a show. And so, yeah, it is very vintage, and it's very, like, ingrained into the World War history, like, out there being passenger pigeons and messenger pigeons. They have meant a lot to America and, you know, Britain, and people have just seemed to have forgotten about them. And it's really sad. So, you know, and also keeping pigeons kind of makes you take on like a slower way of life, like taking care of an animal and having to wake up every day and think like, what is my little beautiful child that is feathered need today? It kind of makes you slow down, get off technology, get off your screen, get outside and take on like that kind of vintage-esque like way of life. And that's a really great way to reconnect with nature and reconnect with yourself and that innate need in humans to bond with animals and take care of animals.
Yeah.
Like I think that it is really like deeper than just having like a pet. Like I think that, you know, saving and having something that needs your help that has meant a lot to the world up until now. Like it's very fulfilling. Like it really is. And I love her so much. And she really brings like a light and a joy to my life that really no other pet has. Like the bond between like a pigeon and a human, like it's not the same as like a dog or a cat. No, nothing against dogs and cats, but I think if there are dog and cat people, we should be allowed to be pigeon people.
I had dogs. I had cats. I had two dogs actually from childhood. And they lived till like one was 19 when he died, 19. Aww. And the other one was 16 when she died. And so they lived for a long time. They were with me for like all growing up. And I've had cats because my mum loves cats. She's a cat person. So I love dogs and cats. And if I see a dog or cat or a cat deigns to sit on my lap, I feel honoured and chosen.
Me too.
But yeah, but when I met Penny, oh my God, there was just a whole other level of connection that I never even knew existed. And you are so right. Not only is it quite, I think, easy for us to make the connection into our vintage aesthetic because pigeons were very front and center in the 40s. You know, in Britain, there was like 250,000 of them flown over enemy lines. And even in World War One, you know, you've got the amazing like Cher Ami who saved, you know, who managed to tell that the forces that they were bombing their own people. And all of these incredible stories, and like 32 won the Dickens Medal more than any other animal at war, which is amazing, really. So I think for us, that kind of... you know, the aesthetic of carrier pigeons and the 40s and writing letters, it all kind of ties in quite nicely. So I think we've got quite an easy gig with the amalgamation of the two. But I really like what you said about even if you take the 40s out of it and all the eras before where people were keeping pigeons and domesticating pigeons and having them as their companions, because I've seen paintings of humans with one singular pigeon. So whether or not they were keeping them in their bedrooms, their quarters, probably not.
But they, I'm time trapped.
That was you. That's your great, 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 great grandma. But like, even like, I'm sure they're not keeping them like the way you keep Miss Pidge, but there's definitely depictions of humans bonded to not just birds, one bird, because I've seen the paintings, I've done the research, but even... forgetting that, I liked what you said about being out in nature, because I know when people think cottagecore, they think ducks and chickens, because that's all over it. And I love birds of all kinds, but don't sleep on pigeons, because pigeons are a fantastic cottagecore-esque companion that you can keep. I mean, me having that lovely little aviary that I've painted all like mint green and duck egg blue, and it's all cute and there's bunting on it and stuff, and I let them out to fly every day and they come home for their dinner. It is what gets me outside, because as a content creator, I don't know when else I would go outside. And I work in an office with no windows, like for my day job, so it's nice to have a reason to go outside. So don't sleep on, you know, the fact that they'd be great for your cottagecore aesthetic.
Yes.
Not that I'm encouraging people in Britain to keep pigeons as pets, because annoyingly, it's not quite as organized here as it is in the US. We don't have Palomacy groups, really. We don't really have welfare charities, except, I mean, there's one other that I know of in Britain that is specifically about pigeons. And then there's Penny's Pigeon Aid that I've set up, and I don't know of any others. And there is definitely no adoption centres. There are rescue centres that have rescued pigeons, and those that can't be set free, they will put a call out on Facebook to anybody with an aviary, anybody that is a pigeon keeper, to see if they can home them. But it's not the same setup as in America. So we've got a lot of catching up to do. And because the UK is just smaller, just physically, keeping pigeons as pets is fine, but like breeding, we need to be careful about breeding, because the more they're seen as a nuisance, the more people will be cruel to them and the more pest control will get involved, and that's what none of us want. But the other reason I like pigeons and vintage is because I always think that vintage is quite normal because I'm in the community. So whenever I post about vintage, I get lots of love because I'm already in the community. You know, the minute a video or a post goes outside the community, I suddenly remember how weird it is to the muggles, the normies, okay? And I think to myself, oh, we are kind of weird and we are kind of outcast. And so are pigeons. Pigeons are outcast. And they're not treated the same as their domesticated brethren, dogs and cats. They're like the outcast bit. And I connect with them on that level as well. I mean, how are you doing with the comments out there? Is your content well received, or do you get any backlash as a young woman dressing in a vintage aesthetic?
You know, overall, really well received. Which, mm-hmm. And you know, I was kind of scared to get on Instagram because there's that joke that's kind of a mean joke where like people will comment on TikTok, post this to Instagram Reels. And what they mean by that is that they think if that person posts it to Instagram Reels, it's going to get a bunch of mean and terrible, like, cyberbullying comments. Because apparently, Instagram Reels is known for having, like, really harsh and mean and, like, trolling comment sections. And so when I started on Instagram, I was like, all right, just prepare yourself. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a young gal dressing in, like, 40s, 50s vintage, like, I'm not out here like with any plastic surgery or anything to help me to like that Instagram aesthetic, which I mean, there's nothing wrong with like those sorts of procedures. But like, I think people are forgetting what real people look like when you get on Instagram and TikTok and you see these gals who, you know, and men who have had so much like work done. And they're not transparent about it. That's the only thing that I have an issue with is when they're not transparent about it. So anyways, I was kind of nervous to get more into Instagram. And I was scared of how I would be received. But luckily, I have stayed, as they like to say, on the right side of Instagram. And my content has been very well received. I have gotten a few comments about, you know, there's this weird idea that dressing in vintage is taking women back 50 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so me wearing like a 50s dress like means that I have all these like really old fashioned morals and values because of like the piece of cloth I choose to drape myself with. The fact that I have the choice to dress however the hell I want is not taking us back 50 years. It's bringing us into the present that I can dress any way that I choose to.
I was going to ask about that with the connotations that come from dressing vintage. So I posted I posted something on Threads, and it was so bad. The comments were so bad. I took it down. I don't take posts down very often. They were so bad. And they were basically alluding to the fact that I was homophobic. They were alluding to the fact that I wanted to go back to a time where there were more racial barriers and segregation. They were alluding to the fact that I was glorifying and romanticizing a war-torn era. And I read back the post and I was like, I don't say anything about that. It was so like innocent. It was just like, hi, my name's Hannah. I enjoy wearing vintage and I live in a 1940s inspired house. And I recently started a podcast and I described the podcast. And I said, what do you think about the modern world? You know, do you think people struggle? It was something like that. And because I'd said a particular era, just by saying 1940s inspired house, that's what people held on to. And I'm a white woman. So they just got it into their heads that I, you know, that I had all of these values, and it was relentless. It was relentless. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. I've got to take this down. And there were people saying like, oh, you know, oh, well, I'm a lesbian. So I would. And I was like, I write a sapphic lesbian love story on TikTok set in the 1940s that I post about every Sunday. Like, please don't make assumptions about me or my sexuality for one thing, because what do you know? And it was very frustrating. And do you think that there are connotations and assumptions made when somebody looks at you as a young white woman wearing a 50s dress? And if you do think there are connotations, what do you think those connotations tend to be? And also, are women who dress the way that we do sometimes, are we fetishized a little bit sometimes?
Yes, I do think that people fetishize women who dress vintage. Oh, honey, she just fell off the bed.
Oh, no, Miss Page.
Oh, she's fine.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's mad. She's going under the bed.
Is she doing the angry coos and the spinny thing? Mine tend to get angry and they spin a lot.
No, you know, she is very, she doesn't usually get angry. She just gets annoyed and then she just like wants to go be by herself. But she's actually peeking out at me. From under the bed, she expects me to, for some reason, she thinks that I'm small enough to get under there with her. You know, she sees that sort of like her nesty place. So she's like, lose weight, get under here with me.
And why I'm just aren't like, you?
Girl, I can't.
Become a borrower. Come on, Thumbelina, get under here.
But anyways, you know, dressing in vintage gets really intertwined, which I mean, it is intertwined with like pinup. And, you know, as we know, pinup, like, its origins is basically softcore, you know what I'm going to say?
It is. Like, it is indeed. Yeah.
Like,
it
that's is. The purpose that pinup served.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, pinup actually has, like, a lot of, it did a lot for feminism, a lot of people think. Because, you know, men got used to seeing women in not so modest clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to become not as shocking to see a woman like in a little bathing suit or like in pants and in jeans because the pinup models that they like really like liked that they romanticize and idolize were out here like wearing these little outfits and they're like, you know what? Maybe women don't have to dress modest all the time because that looks really hot and cute.
Yeah.
And like, sure, that's kind of a backwards way to bring on the feminism just because, you know, it looks hot, but it's a way. It's a way to kind of do it. And I think the women have always been smart. Mm-hmm. We are clever. And I think the women knew exactly what they were doing with that.
I interviewed, her name's Susie Kennedy, and she's the number one Marilyn Monroe impersonator in the world. And
oh
she
God.
Was like, she was on like really big shows over here in the UK and she's been on other shows in Europe and stuff. And she was talking about how Marilyn had a very particular strategy into like, you know, how she behaved. And you know what? Own your sexuality. And I think women were doing that and doing it well. And including, you know, the pinup models of the day and everyone that Gil Elvgren painted and things. And and Marilyn, you know, there's a lot of talk about her and how she handled herself, held herself in the eyes of men and everybody else in the business. And I think you're right. I know it must seem to some like a bit of a backwards narrative for women. But in these women dressing how they wanted to dress, even when they met royalty, because Marilyn wore a very, like, you know, sexy dress to meet royalty at one point. Even that is powerful in its own way. Even that's a statement in its own way, even if it does seem a bit backwards. Oh, and also with the pigeon thing. Oh, sorry. Back to pigeons again. Queen Elizabeth. So Queen Elizabeth II. So our monarch that died preceding King Charles, who is our current monarch. Who I hope's feeling okay. Because apparently he's not very well. She was a big pigeon fancier. She was a big pigeon keeper. So it adds to that patriotic, I guess, thing that we were talking about earlier. But no, thank you for that. Yes, I agree. And how do you combat in the modern world when you might be, I mean, maybe you don't know about it, so maybe you don't have to combat it, but how do you combat when we are fetishized or when people do assume that we carry values of eras gone by? Do you ignore it and just keep posting your authentic content and don't give them a platform to talk their rubbish? Do you address it? You know, like, or is there no real, because like this is a new thing, I think, of more and more people living in an aesthetic that, you know, is of eras gone by rather than the one we're living in right now. There's been such a surge in popularity of this. It's called anamoya, a love for an era you never even experienced. Like we both have it, and everyone I watch on social media seems to have it, whether it's the 70s, 80s or before. How do we combat the notion that we must believe in every other thing that happened during the era that we like?
So I have addressed this on my platforms because, you know, I think that the movement hashtag vintage fashion, not vintage values, is really important And I really like to utilize like that hashtag and that phrase when I'm making content. And I've made videos. One of my most popular Instagram videos is just me like doing a little dance to some vintage music. And I'm like, just in case anyone forgot, vintage fashion does not equal vintage values. And, you know, that was pretty well received, except for there are two sides that don't like that. The people who think that it does, the people that think that dressing in older eras, you know, is romanticizing those sorts of values and stuff. And then there's another side of people that actually really enjoy vintage. And I've only had these comments maybe once or twice. I don't think it's a very popular opinion. But they think that it's very virtue signaling and wrong to use that hashtag because they don't think that like those, the bad things that have happened should count as values. They say, you know, bigotry and racism is not like a value and that we shouldn't like act like it is and we shouldn't act like it's gone now. But that's not like how I see that movement at all or how I understand it. So I have gotten into kind of some spits about that. I try not to fight with people. You know, I want to keep my page like a peaceful place. And at the end of the day, like I put all this effort into my content. I deserve to feel safe in my on my page, in my space. And, like, I do accept, like, criticism. And I do want to talk this bitch. She's hollering, like, yeah, me too, Mom. But
preach,
at the
mama.
End of the day, if people are going to be unnecessarily harsh and mean, like, I'm a person with mental health issues and, like, my own peace that I need to protect, and I will block people. Like, I will stop replying. And,
agreed.
Like, I will block people from my page because, like, just because I'm putting myself out there does not mean that I'm, like, some guy in those, what are those called, where, like, they're hanging there and it's, like, a punishment thing. And I'm,
guillotine.
I'm not there to get, yes, I'm not there to get thrown tomatoes at, like,
yeah.
That's not
you know
the
what?
Purpose.
I'm so glad you said that because, like, you know, as my platforms have grown, I sometimes forget that this is my house. This is my space. You don't come into my space with your abuse, actually.
Yes.
I know you probably, and this is the problem, when you get big enough, and this isn't just social media, this could be anyone in the creative industry, anybody in either traditional media or non-traditional media. And at the moment, social media, I think, is classed as non-traditional media. But either or, when you get big enough, it's like you become everybody's property. And it's like, no, we actually don't. We still deserve our content to keep us safe. Because, yeah, I have the worst anxiety. I have such bad anxiety. To the point where I'm thinking, I should probably just go see my GP. I probably should just go see a doctor about it and just talk about that. So when I get these comments flooding in, I know, right? You know, it does give me anxiety. And I either take the post down or try and answer it or just try and ignore it and move on. But why should... The thing is, the hashtag wouldn't exist. If those people are going to say, oh, well, you're using values in the wrong way. You know what? The hashtag wouldn't have existed in the first place if people didn't come at us saying, well, you must believe in all the values then. The hashtag had to be created because people kept coming at us thinking that we believed in the ethos of the era, or whatever you want to call it, the moral constructs, the social constructs, whatever you want to call it. It's just a summary. It's only a hashtag, for goodness sake. It can't be an essay. It's just a summary that we don't believe in the facets of that era. And I know people are like, oh, but you can't cherry pick. But you can, because history, the past is a foreign country. And we take bits and bobs from foreign countries now that we like and we use, like the food and the music and the dress sense and the trends and whatever.
Yes.
Everybody cherry picks. You have to bring with you whatever you feel is valuable. And some people bring things that I wish they would leave behind. And yep. Other people just bring the fashion and the music and the decor. And that's why that's what I love. And as far as vintage gal, modern world, let's talk a little bit about the modern world. Do you find do you like living in the modern world? Do you find that you fit in the present day? I don't mean would you like to go and live in the 50s? I don't mean that, but obviously we live where we live. We were born in the era we were born in, and that's fine. And here we are, and we're here to stay, and that's great. But do you find the modern world presents challenges, I suppose, in what is what I'm asking?
See, that's another one where people start like fighting and arguing about like, oh, like you dress like the 50s, you want to go back to the 50s. Like, no, we don't want to go back to the 50s. You think
No.
us people who have like, who love like the era and have studied up on like the things that happened back then and like know the history want to go back?
We want to go back less than everybody else who hasn't spent hours researching it like we do. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And people get hung up on that. I think that my biggest challenge and something that I really do think that we're missing out on is that, like, I will never experience a world where technology and social media and Instagram is just like prevalent and ingrained into our every single day lives, into our
Yeah.
waking moments. And, you know, people can argue, like, oh, just get a flip phone, don't get social media. My, like, half my life is so social media now. Like, if I don't get on social media, I don't get to really express myself the way I want to. I don't get to talk with my friends and family the way that I want to. Like, it's just not really for me personally, especially as a content creator, an option to just get rid of all of it. But at the same time, it's insane that we are in a day and age where you can get on your phone and talk to people like whenever you want, and yet people feel so lonely, especially over COVID, the pandemic, when a lot of people started working from home and they didn't get that social contact every day. Like, the loneliness itself is just like an epidemic, and I think that that is really something that, like, I don't want to go back to that decade, but I really do wish I could experience a world where, like, you went out and you saw people and you had a community, and that was every day. It wasn't just like, you know, you work a 9 to 5 and you feel lonely all week, and then, you know, you have to pay money to go out to a restaurant with your friends. Like, we're losing these spaces where it wasn't costly and unaffordable to go see people. Nowadays, you have to spend money to go see people. Like, I mean, one of the only places I can think of where, like, you can go for free and spend time with your community is church. And not everybody wants to go to church. Like, no offense to church, but, like, I don't really want to go to church. Like, I just have some, like, trauma with church and I don't want to go. So, where am I supposed to go? Like, especially in America, it's not walkable here at all. And the cost of living everywhere is just rising and rising and rising. And even like just wanting to go out and hang out with your friends, you have to spend like $50 to go out to dinner or to like go to like a skate rink or something just like fun like that. And not everybody can afford to do that stuff every week, every day. Like, some people can only afford to do it sometimes. And also just like the lack of genuine human connection between people. People are so mean to people online. So mean. And you know, I bet if you met that person who was so mean in person, they would not act like that.
They wouldn't. It'd be so different. It would be
Yes.
so different.
Yes. And I think that really like reflects the mental health issues and the dehumanization that like stems from all this social media. We're starting to see people online as not even people. And on top of that, like I mentioned earlier, we're forgetting what real people even look like anymore. All these filters, like, and I mean, I have nothing against people doing whatever they want with their own body, but the disingenuous, like, you know, I'm gonna go out and get all this plastic surgery and filler and Botox, and I'm just gonna pretend I was born like that. Like, I think that makes little girls so sad. So sad that they look at themselves in the mirror and they're like, why don't I look like that? And they don't know. They don't know. They're little girls. They don't realize that that face probably has like $50,000 worth of stuff that made it look that way. But there are just some aspects of like that slow living and that that life where, like, you know, working provided you a livable wage and you could have a family. You know, like the
What?
dad worked at Sears, he didn't go to
Yeah.
college, and he was able to raise like three kids and have a house and a car.
Yeah, you're right. You will get people going, oh, just buy a Nokia then and get off social media if you're so butthurt about it. But wait a moment. Because the thing is, I think the advancements that we've made in the modern world are incredible. My partner is type 1 diabetic, right? Without the marvels of modern medicine, right, he would be in real trouble. So, like, I am all for the advancement, and I love technology. I've said it. I've never made a secret of this. I'm a gamer. I've been a gamer since day dot because, like you, I grew up, and the internet and video games and social media were a thing. They just were a thing. They developed as I was growing up, and the phones got, like, you know, even better and bigger, and then smaller, and then bigger again. But, like, you know, I basically knew about that kind of, like, you know, ability to be able to communicate and that being so accessible. I've never known any different. But just because we have completely accessible communication all of the time, it doesn't mean we have an actual connection. And if social media wasn't as massive as it is, it wouldn't be a problem, and I wouldn't be ranting about it. It would just be a facet of the modern age, just one facet. But it isn't one facet. It's all consuming. And I don't think anybody was prepared for it. And the problem is, it's not just social media now. Everything is advancing in technology so much. Like, over COVID, doing a Teams call, doing Microsoft Teams, that's how I communicate at work all the time now. Chats, you know, like instant chats and Teams calls. You never see anybody anymore. And now AI is a massive thing. And you can have avatars that speak on your behalf because you're off doing something else. And that's great. Everything's becoming so convenient. I'm sure at one stage we won't even have to lift a finger to do anything. But is that good? Is that good, really? Actually, I think that's quite frightening. And that's why over the last 90 years, it's got, like, our sadness and our struggle in the modern world has become so prevalent because we are lonely. We are lonely, and I think we are crying out for a connection. And you're right. What you could do with a wage, you know, in eras that have already been, you cannot do with that wage now. And everything does cost. If you want to go have dinner with a friend or the cinema, or, you know, you have to Uber it there or whatever, everything costs money. Building a community is almost impossible. So people go to social media to build a community there. But then you've got the same problem. And it's just a vicious cycle where nobody's actually making a genuine connection. So I hear you. And I think that's why a lot of people are living a simpler life with simpler standards. Have you seen an increase in people living, you know, kind of turning back to maybe an era they're nostalgic for, or maybe an era that they've never actually known, but they feel nostalgic for?
Definitely. I have seen so much of that, and it's funny because, like, I mean, I see it on social media. So, like, they're not that far disconnected to not be like on Instagram posting and stuff. But yes, like I see people who are live they're homesteading, and you know, they're out like living like with gardens and canning, and you know, they don't have TVs in their house. And I'm guessing that they still have the social media aspect just to like show that like, you know, this is possible and maybe they do make some sort of like income from that.
Yeah, they probably
So
do, yeah.
I see no problem with that like at all. Like you're already living this slow life. Like I don't think it's terribly disingenuous to, you know, have an Instagram account or a TikTok to
No,
just
because
show
it's
that.
balanced for them. It's balanced for them because their social media will be one portion of their day, and the rest of their experiences are tangible, and they're actually doing stuff, and they're actually connecting with nature. There's another massive one. We don't connect with nature anymore. So to say that they have one portion that's dedicated to social media, that's fine because it's balanced. Whereas the rest of us who can't live off the grid because we just don't have the means to do it, unfortunately, and we can't. I mean, I live in the city. Nobody thinks I do. Everybody thinks I live in a manor house in the countryside, like, you know, like Beatrix Potter. I don't. It's an old house, but it's in the city. I'm so close to the city centre where I live. Like, out there, it's all road and houses as far as the eye can see. But everybody, I think a lot of people think that I must live this dreamy. No, that's the thing. Social media is not real. Social media is not reality. It's perfection. It's filters, like you said. Another reason why I think it's become increasingly damaging is there is no balance, because everything you see is perfect. So as women, well, men as well, but I can only speak about my lived experience, and I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. So as women, this need to be perfection, to be perfect, to be forever young, to be innocent but strong, and sensual but driven, and all of these weird contradictory aspects of being a woman, like, that social media does not help with any of that. And what does your partner, is he vintage, or is he like, is he a muggle?
No.
You married a muggle?
Yes.
I did too. Well, I'd say that my partner's probably like half and half. He's, what's Hermione in the Harry Potter series?
Mud
She's
blood.
Half muggle. He's a mudblood. He's in both worlds. So he does dress vintage, but in his everyday, he's more, yeah, modern. But yeah, what about your partner?
So Samuel, he is definitely not a vintage guy, but he is a lovely, wonderful guy. Oh. And he does like treat me like a princess, which I guess you could sort of say, like, I mean, the how gentlemanly he is, that
that's nice,
is sort of vintage. And I'm not pushing for anybody to have like traditional gender role lifestyles out here. But, like, I do enjoy, like, that chivalry. Like, I like a gentleman. I like someone who's chivalrous. That's just personally what feels, like, safe and comforting and, like, just lovable to me. So, in that way, he's sort of vintage. He's a little bit more, like, on the old-fashioned side of, like, if I take you on a date, like, I want to pay for it. Like, I want to, like, take care of you. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that sort of aspect of our relationship, like I would say that is kind of vintage.
We are one person, I swear we're the same person.
Really?
We definitely are. Because Jack is exactly the same. And you don't have to apologize. You like what you like and you own it, because I like it too. Jack is very chivalrous. He's got very traditional values. Had my grandpa been alive to meet him, he'd have loved him. He'd have absolutely loved him. He really would. Because my grandpa was very much a traditional gentleman. And he had a way that he wanted me to be treated in his mind, because I don't know who my dad is. So my grandpa was like my father, and he wanted a certain kind of man to be the one that I ended up with, and I think he would have approved of Jack, because he is very chivalrous in that way, and I like that, and I'm not ashamed that I like that. It doesn't make me any less a fierce woman, an independent woman. But it's treatment, and I like being treated that way. So absolutely, good for you. And congratulations.
I like your grandpa.
Oh, he's amazing.
I wish honestly. I could have met your grandpa.
Oh, you'd have loved him. Wait there.
Oh.
That's his RAF badge. He was in the RAF in the 50s.
And
that's little me.
You're a hair color.
I know. And before I was mad into the vintage as well. Like, I was still into it a little bit, but not anywhere near as I am now. It's been a growing love. But it's all because of him and his 1940s films that we used to watch together. And also, congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Do you have any kind of date for the wedding, or is it, you know? Yeah.
Like, I mean, if I had the money, I would definitely be hiring a wedding planner, but I do not. I think we want just like a micro wedding is what they're calling it now.
Yeah, lovely.
Fancy name for small wedding. But yeah, just like something with like my family there and the most like important people in my life there. And hopefully we won't be spending like
my partner and the pigeons, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. This pigeon has to be there. I want her to be like my ring bearer.
You know what? I always thought that with Penny. I had such dreams for mine and Jack and Penny's life together, because Jack saw Penny as his feathered daughter. And for his birthday, after she died, it was so sad when she died. We were broken. And we're not going to have kids, so we don't want any children. We both
Me
feel
either.
Don't even lie.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me. That's insane. So yeah, we don't want children. What the hell? We need to meet in person. We really do. Right. So I'm not saying that like Penny substituted a child. We weren't even like, she came into my life by accident. So it wasn't like I think that pets are the same as children. Not at all. Of course not. It's a totally different kind of love. But we used to nickname her our feathered daughter because it was just cute. And she really did mean a lot to us. And when she died, it absolutely tore us apart. And we had this whole life envisioned with her. Pigeons live for like 15 years domesticated. And we really thought this was going to be like our whole life. And when she died, I got Jack like a poem from Penny to him, thanking him for like everything that like he did for her. And it was just so cute. But I thought to myself, if I did get married to Jack, I would have wanted Penny to be involved in some way. I think even now, I think I'm going to have to, because she meant so much to us. I think when I walk down the aisle, I'm going to have her feathers in my bouquet so that she's there. I know. You can cry. It's fine.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think that's really meaningful because, you know, I think people underestimate how attached and how much you can love a little bird.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I can't imagine because it's not happened to me yet. Mm. But Miss Pidge is actually, when I adopted her, they said she's a senior pigeon. So like, and they don't know how old she is, but just by her behaviors and her looks, they're guessing she's older. And so, you know, some days I'm just like, how long do I get with her? You know, like, that's hard. And I shouldn't be the one crying because I haven't even, you've actually like lived through that and lost your pigeon, but they really are. In their way, I know people, and like you said, it's not the same as having a child, but, like, I mean, to me, like, it's almost, like, that level of love, and, like, I don't have children, and as we both apparently don't want children, but, like, I mean, I have loved many children in my life. I actually, my jobs, I've done a lot of nannying.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, my gosh, I love these kids, and I love them so much. Like they're, like, sort of mine because I've really helped, like, raise them and, like, kind of shape them, and I hope in a good way because I really try into who they are today. And so that love, like, I mean, it really is almost, like, the same level to me. But, yeah, for my content, I really would love to grow, especially on Instagram. I'd like to really focus my TikTok on probably just on like Miss Pidge. I might even just make her own account, and focus on like her cute day-to-day life and pigeon caretaking. Aww. Yes, I love her so much. But yeah, I really, and I know everybody, a lot of people these days want to be like content creators and, you know, make that their full-time job. And that's kind of, like, frowned upon. Like, when I tell people, they're like, well, what career are you going to do? What job are you going to do? Why don't you have a 9-to-5? And I tell them, like, you know, I really want to be, like, a vintage content creator. Yeah. And I sell vintage clothing, like, as a small business. I'm not making a ton of money at it. But, you know, these are my passions. Mm. And it's what I want to do. And I think nowadays, it's been ingrained to me from a young age that you don't have to be passionate about your job. You just need to make money. Mm-hmm. And that is your purpose, is to have a job that makes money.
So true.
Don't care what it is. Nah. Don't care what you do. Nah. Try to find something that maybe you don't completely hate. But, you know, even if it kind of takes pieces of your soul to do the job, do the job. Make the money. Just do it. And So I went to college. I went the traditional route of college. I got a bachelor's degree in psychology. And after that,
I did psychology.
No, you do not. I'm done. I'm done with us. This is embarrassing, but I can't wait to tell my mom about this.
Same.
Because she's going to be like, same. Did I give birth there?
Yeah. My mom will too. My mom will say the same.
Yes, your mom too. Yeah. I had to tell my mom about this. Yes. No, seriously. Yeah. We have to try to meet someday. Yeah. That would be so fun. And after that, I was just like, I don't want to do this. Mm. I want to work for myself. Because if you're not working for yourself, you're working for somebody else's dream a lot of the time. I want to work for my own dream. That's what I tell myself.
Yeah, take it from your weird pigeon aunties. You need to live your authentic life and you will find your community in doing that. You'll find your flock. Like I found Penny and Becca found Miss Pidge. Becca, thank you so much for joining me today. You've been an utter delight. I absolutely adore you. We are kindred spirits and you are the best. Mwah.
Thank you so much for having me. I've honestly had like so much more fun than I could have ever imagined talking with you. Like you really are just like my British twin. Like the world has brought us together. Yes. Like we are powerful. I really think what you're doing is wonderful. I hope that someday that I like have like the space in my life to do something like that, because what you're doing is amazing. Pin Up and Pigeons signing out.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.